Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites! Keep them frozen, they're good!
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
Hi, I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And you are listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. We're back after a brief hiatus. I think this is the first podcast since the Kickstarter project successfully funded. Thank you so much to everybody who participated in spreading the word and pledging. And now the work has started on that book. And that is very exciting. Regular updates will be coming, not really on the podcast, but to the backers. So thank you again very, very much. I'm very, very excited.
Congratulations. You're welcome. I get it done.
Yeah, several of the contributors know where I live, so...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that'll happen. So we've got some things on the docket today. We want to briefly mention Gen Con 2014.
Yeah.
And plans to take the con by force. Are we going to assault the
one-day spree?
Yeah, probably.
It's not by force. We don't have the numbers.
We don't have the endurance. Who are you kidding?
That's true. Maybe no. We get those little carts with wheels and we can drive around.
Ooh, I wonder. Yeah, we need an ECV, something, EVM, EMV, I don't know, something, electric mobility vehicle, something like that.
Those little carts.
Yep. I want to drive mine backwards so that everywhere it goes beep, beep.
Just load it up with stuff.
Ah, that would be cool. So, Curtis, what are your Gen Con plans? You spent the entire night while the kids were at Pokemon League plotting. So come on, share some
listing,
of your.
Just going through my list of game stores I want to hit. Just got my map out, which damn, everybody's impressed by.
Well, this is true because you plotted it out on
24x36 inch paper.
Yippers, baby!
It's the only way to read it.
So what are some of the highlights that we're looking forward to? I, of course, am looking forward to the Evil Hat booth that they're sharing with Indie Press Revolution.
Yeah, I want to hit that.
I don't know exactly what I plan to be getting there because I think I've already got...
Well, if they have an early copies out of Atomic Robo...
Oh, that's true.
Because sometimes they do that, so I'd get one of those.
That's true. They might have some of the fate dice that Jim never seems to have in stock.
Well, he's put it in the other area now.
Well, I know, but he doesn't have the full selection.
That's true. He's only got, what, eight? Six if we're lucky.
Yeah.
But they're always
that's
the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. We're going to, Trollin' Toad's probably going to be a big stop.
Yeah, that one going to be a better stop. I want to hit some of the miniature companies to do the terrain because I'd like to get enough to have just a village put out because I got the miniatures.
I have high hopes of finding my dice there.
Oh, the glitter? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You will. I was just seeing the trend that it's not the big one they want anymore. It's, the two-toned, the camouflage, but they got them because I see it all the time on Noble Knight and stuff under the dice sections. They're always in stock.
Well, I'll just have to. I've been looking for what I've called glitter dice.
Yeah, speckled.
Monty called them speckled, but then he said, "Oh, that's not speckled.
It's glitter.
These are basically translucent dice that have glitter impregnated in the body of the die."
Yeah, my first dice set.
Yeah, it was one of my second dice. I think it was my second dice set. because I bought a box of or a blister pack. They were in blister packs.
Yeah.
Of gemstones. They were translucent dice.
Yeah.
And then when we started playing the Batman role playing game, I bought a couple of the glitter dice, a silver and a gold.
Mm.
And I think those have since gone by the wayside or been. I suspect that they were absconded with by the children.
Well, if nothing else, if they're as old as mine, glitter, my first set.
Yeah.
They don't look good no more. I mean, they've been around, yeah, and they've lost their glitter. They look, you know, worn, because I played the hell out of them dice. I only stopped using them when one of my die fell down the vent at Greg's house, and we couldn't get it.
Ooh.
Because the set was broken, the karma was dead.
Yeah, that's rough. You know, people don't put enough stock in it. Having the right dice is important.
Yeah, that's why I got like 6 bags and a tray.
and then a bigger tray.
But some have more than me, so.
Oh, yeah, we're pikers.
Yeah.
You know, no. I'm selective. No,
I don't buy any. I'm very selective.
Yeah. I have to admit, there was a point there where I was just buying stuff and
just to buy, buy it. If you go to the store
and
buy something, buy dice.
Right, exactly.
It's always there.
Yeah. You know, you go, you feel bad walking out with nothing, so you pick up a pack of dice.
Yep.
Whatever. Nowadays, again, like you said, we're being more selective about it.
Got enough, yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I think it's just changing the seasons.
Yeah. Well, I've got a big tray, you know, that big container. That's got dice that are still in their boxes, not open, mint, preserved.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, yeah. I got tons. I'm good.
I want to build a nice nice dice tower. the little ones you've got are very, very cool. And
oh, yeah.
The one that I had didn't last very long at all, I'm afraid.
Oh, it didn't?
No. Isaiah is a very enthusiastic dice roller. And
shock, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway. Yeah. So I've got plans made up. I'm going to make a nice wooden one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Gen Con will be the place I can find exactly
cheap,
the right dice I want.
Affordable. Because that's where I got those dice towers.
Yeah.
They're normally $20. Dude sold them to me for $10 each.
I know Jeff likes those precision dice that he got, the glow-in-the-dark ones.
Yeah.
Gotta hit and them. I know that I can get them made out of stone or metal or all kinds of stuff. I don't want that fancy. I want some nice glitter dice. Ooh, maybe I can find some glittering fate dice. That would be very cool.
Don't they have that?
I don't know. I've never seen them.
I don't know. I have to look. But yeah, we can hunt them down.
So, Gen Con. We talked about some of the things that we would like to do, and I don't think either one of us is really up to spending 4 days gaming.
No. I like I said, we discussed last time, I'm more in the mode to be game master nowadays instead of player, and sometimes I can't put up with the headache of some people.
And you know what? We don't have that kind of endurance anymore.
No.
To drive up there and spend 4 hours at a gaming table.
No.
It's, oh, gosh.
Because then you have to cram our searching into the dealer's room more, and they expanded that, so there's more to look at.
Yep.
That's an extra at least 30 to 40 feet. And that's a lot.
The way they pack them in, yippers.
Yeah.
We talked about making time for some of the seminars or lectures or the panels. I think that would be cool. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, we'd have to look and see what times they are and stuff. And
yeah.
When we register, I have to get registered for those, which they're not filled or what.
Yeah, and yeah. Some of the guests that we'd like to see. Jim Butcher is going to be there. James Ernst of Cheap Ass Games is going to be there.
Yeah.
And those are going to be featured guests of Gen Con. But again, you know, these guys are big time celebrities. As cool as it would be to meet them and say.
I mean, Cheap Ass Games guy, maybe we could get into his sooner. But Jim Butcher, oh, hell no.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I haven't been able to find. And maybe this is just my lack of skill at negotiating the Gen Con site.
I don't think it's up yet.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't been able to find out where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I don't
know,
think
maybe
that's...
he'll be signing books, and how cool would that be?
I don't think that's
you
done
my
yet.
My new copy of Skin Game signed.
Because it's... Yeah, I'm...
Oh, well.
Check it, but yeah, I think it's not done yet for the seminar posting, so it ain't ready yet.
You know what? I would even be willing to lug that massive Dresden Files RPG through all day through the hall if Jim Butcher would be there to sign it, or Fred Hicks. That would be so cool. But anyway, fanboy stuff aside, we're planning to do a one day blitz of Gen Con.
Yep.
The whole 4-day endurance marathon. That's just
it's just too expensive too.
It is expensive. This is true. And it's not where, and we're close enough that we can drive up as a day trip.
Yeah.
And it's on
a good day because it's on Saturday, so
right.
Everybody's usually in their stuff, doing their things.
Yeah, they're
third
busy.
Day we're, in. We all have, the rush is over for the hot products,
exactly.
So we can find whatever.
Exactly. And you know what? We're not going to have to have the Gen Con version, have to have, because the bottom line is if it comes out at Gen Con, it's going to be in stores 6 months to a year later.
Yeah, like I told Monty. Don't worry, I get all my Paizo stuff from you anyway, so don't worry. You know.
Exactly, right?
I mean, that's the way. You got to keep the store open.
That's right.
Well, if don't, no one buys. Store
exactly.
goes down.
You know what? That's one of the reasons I determined, because I feel so bad. I mean, we've spent so much money at the gaming store at Comic Quest over the years, and nowadays I'm not buying comic books anymore. Not spending the kind of money on RPGs that we used to.
Selective.
Well, I'm not, but you know what? I figured I can at least take my back issue list and hunt down back issues.
Yeah, when we or get a game or something when he's got it, or dice.
Yeah. I guess it shouldn't feel too bad. We're kind of passing the torch. Take the kids there to spend their allowance every
God.
Week, right?
Yeah.
That's something.
It's not he's hurting.
Oh goodness! So Gen Con, that's upcoming, and we're planning to blitz it one day.
Yep.
Not really going to do any games. Maybe catch a panel or a seminar if we're lucky. You know, if I would love to do True Dungeon, it's not in the cards. It's just not in the cards.
Yeah. Oh well, you'd be lucky to get that.
Yeah. So we have we got other things to address. Primary among them is the we have some prepping to do.
Yep.
And this is in part inspired by a series that I taped off of Destination America. Prepper Hillbillies.
Oh God,
Kurt, do you want to give us the rundown on Prepper Hillbillies?
Rednecks who prep.
It's almost that simple.
Well, apparently it's three guys. They work or own a pawn store.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
Oh, yeah. If you watch the show, when the people are going in to talk to them at the store, it's, guns, gold, whatever, pawn.
Yeah.
So okay. It's a pawn store, basically, but they also specialize in helping people prep and stuff, because there's a whole section of what they showed. That's
right.
Where those people go talk to. But you come in. You tell them what you need or want to do, they'll come out and help you.
And it really is that simple. The show
yeah.
appears to be these three guys go to places, go to people's homes, and assist them in making their own preps. And this is not as extensive as we have seen on Doomsday Preppers
no.
or Doomsday Bunkers.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
These are fairly simple things. The,
yes.
The one episode we watched, the people were worried about being able to get away from marauders. That was their word exactly,
yes.
wasn't it?
Yes, marauders. House is attacked. They want to get away, so they made a zip line from their house to the river to get in their little boat with a trolling motor and escape.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was simple. It was effective, and it gave them peace of mind.
And that's always the key. We know that because,
yeah.
The next episode, the one with the safe room, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was...
They
never did address that problem, though, did they?
No.
Yeah.
People wanted a safe room. They had a closet that connected to their bathroom. Well, in the end, they considered it and said, okay, let's just turn the bathroom and the closet into the safe room. So they reinforced the bathroom door.
Good idea.
But the problem was when they panned the room the first times during daylight, right over the tub, there is a big bay window.
They never did secure that window.
No. The window is the weak point.
They did put sheet metal over the
They put fur board and then sheet metal to say it's bulletproof. And I'm like, not enough.
Not really bulletproof, no.
No, but, it may stop some shotguns up to a 22, but I think a 22 Magnum or higher will blow through it.
Oh, a 30-aught, you know.
Oh, a 30-aught 6 will blow through everything almost.
Yeah.
They ain't got quarter steel on it. It's blown through.
And let's face it, the hunting rifles are going to be the weapon of choice, but yeah.
Yeah, but with the window, it's easy access.
I was more impressed by the intruder deterrence that they rigged up in that house.
Yeah, that was nice.
What was it that they had rigged a tube full of airsoft or something?
Airsoft ammo, the plastic BBs.
Oh.
Took like 40,000 of them, the most big jugs you can buy. Filled it full of things, had magnets on the bottom holding a plate at the bottom. When you open the door, the door swinging pulled the bottom plate off, and these balls fell on the floor, and the guy didn't believe it.
Nice hardwood floor.
Yeah, and the guy didn't believe they wouldn't work. He was the one who tested it, walked in, and fell on his ass and had trouble getting up and keep going.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's 40,000 of them. I didn't want to be the one picking them up.
Yeah, right.
But it worked.
Yeah.
And it was gaudy looking, but that's what one of them goes, well, what the heck? They're going to keep that on their door all the time? He goes, no, you take it off and you put it over here.
Right.
So
you know,
it was just hung on and done.
When you see the marauders coming, then you...
lock the doors.
Right, exactly.
Set the traps.
And they put a smoke machine.
Yes.
A remote-controlled smoke machine in the house, didn't
they? At the top of the stairs, if they got that far after the warnings, yeah, connected it through that vent right there at the top of the stairs. And when they saw it on the cameras, they hit a little button, and it smokes them out.
Right.
Yeah. And it worked.
Hey, it's simple things. I like the one guy was distressed over some vandalism at his property, so that they built him a false driveway.
Well, we never saw the full effect of that, really, because they stopped the show after it proven, but still, my thing is, where's this real driveway then, and if it's connected to that one, you're going to see
I wasn't clear on that either, but
they put a car trap in there, enough to where it's a ditch, basically, stops a car from going any further, cameras, set off by motion sensors.
Yep, and expertly camouflaged.
Yeah, an alarm that would wake you when that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, the false driveway, I was just like, well, where's this real one?
Yeah, I'm sure they, it's got to be there. But
well, they probably didn't want to show you because he gave it away.
Yeah, and it apparently worked because the one dude drove down it accidentally and set off their...
No, he did not do an accident. One guy called him in and wanted him to do it and didn't tell the other two.
Oh, okay. I missed that. All I saw was them running out to try and stop him.
But the problem was those two were talking about getting one to go through the trap already, so I don't know if it was played up or not. But, yeah, they didn't know. He was doing that to play a joke on them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, whatever, it was effective.
Yes.
The car trap was effective.
Yeah, it worked, because it was the van they could be blowed up, he said, anyway.
Yeah, and like any other preppers, the primary purpose was really peace of mind.
Yeah, because for the people in the safety room, they gave them the supplies of food that last 25 years.
Yep.
They gave them prep bags and everything, so they got everything going, but yeah.
Yeah, taught them how to make go bags. And It's cool. Like a lot of reality shows, the first one to market gets off on the technical effectiveness of the show, Doomsday. You know, Doomsday Preppers. Is about the technical effectiveness, and then everything else that follows is about the characters and the hosts and
what they do for who, you know, and what they
how
want.
Kooky and wacky and
what do you want to protect from? Aliens? All right. Yeah.
Well, no. What are we prepping against this week, Kurt?
We're prepping NATO. Hey, and that can happen.
Can happen. It's going to happen.
Again.
It's coming. The second one.
You ever know when a water spout will come down the Ohio River?
Yeah.
And sharks
dude, it
will
can,
be dragging in.
Catfish.
100-pound
catfish. Catfish. Catfish Foony. Catfish Typhoon. What would you call that? I don't know.
Fish NATO.
Fish NATO.
Catfish NATO.
No, 100
pound
blue cat. You've seen a catfish eat a duck. You don't doubt
I've seen catfish eat man.
Yeah, you don't doubt that some of those blue cats in the Ohio River could swallow us whole?
Oh,
yeah.
Just their weight alone will kill you. Whack.
Oh, yeah.
Rain
so,
of fish.
That's all right. We are experts in this field.
Yes. We've watched enough movies. That's our qualifications. We watch enough prepping shows.
We feel we are prepared for disasters such as the Sharknado, the second one, coming July 30th.
Yeah, July 30th. Yeah, July 30th. Like towards the end of July.
Yeah, coming July 30th, we feel we're prepared. And other disasters that could happen, such as...
Sharkquake.
Sharkquake, I was going to go with the avalanche or maybe the shih tsunami.
I love that one. God. Yeah.
These things could happen. We must be prepared. So we're prepared, especially for the Sharknado. We discovered that there are... two specific implements that are absolutely necessary for survival in a Sharknado. We discovered that there is a classification of instruments that means you are well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered that there is some psychological preparedness that needs to happen for the Sharknado if you want to survive. Do you want to start us off with the classification of general instruments, would you? If you want to survive a Sharknado, what must you make certain that what kinds of things must you make certain that you have with you or at ready availability?
Chainsaw. Chainsaw.
Absolutely, chainsaw. but chainsaw and similar gardening instruments. Hedge trimmers. Hedge trimmers, very effective. Hose and spades and these other things, chain wire fence. And
wouldn't hurt.
Exactly. The gardening implements, people don't understand the sheer effectiveness that a gardening instrument has in warding off the weather. And the fact that, sharks... by their very nature, are terrified of gardening instruments and of chainsaws in particular.
Yes,
this is not the first time we've seen a chainsaw wielded against a shark with terrifying effectiveness, is it?
No.
Oh, what was the Jersey Shore shark attack?
Jersey Shore, yeah.
Yeah, something
Jersey
like
shark attack.
Jersey, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I never want to. I can't unsee that.
Oh, yeah, chainsaw is a very, very effective weapon, effective against a shark both inside and out.
Yep.
Not just the soft underbelly, but also the armored back. Mm-hmm. And we've discovered that if you take off the dorsal fin of a shark, then they can't find you as effectively anymore.
True.
Unless you don't manage to completely amputate it, and then they will hunt you down to avenge their scar.
Yeah, and then if you kill them, you got to worry about ghost sharks.
You do have to worry about ghost sharks. That's a problem.
That's another one.
That's a risk that accompanies the Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we prep against the tornado itself with dynamite, right?
Yes, liberal amounts of explosives.
Yes,
can solve anything.
This is true because that is has been proven time and again the single most effective way to defuse any weather phenomenon, really.
Any volatile situation, really. Yeah. Explosives
blow it up, exactly. Yep. And you would think that in this modern era. That we could do so more effectively with C4 or any number of mining or military instruments that are designed to produce rapid concussion like that. But, in this case, it really does seem that dynamite, especially dynamite with a long fuse.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the most effective, most sure way of defusing your Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are certain psychological steps that we must prepare.
Yep.
Do you want to walk us through the most important one of these?
Heal your dysfunctional family.
Very important. Very important.
If you are at odds with your family members, you must get that over and heal quickly, or you will not survive a Sharknado.
This is true.
Because you will become a liability to each other.
You will continue to feud. You will get eaten.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you know, healing those broken relationships is not actually a guarantee of survival.
No. You may heal it and then get eaten.
This is true. This is true. But your odds improve.
Especially if you're holding a chainsaw at the time.
Yes. Very important. Very important. In fact, if I think we can say with certainty that if you are wielding a chainsaw and the dysfunctional family member with whom you are feuding is carrying dynamite, and you manage to patch up that relationship, then your chances of surviving the Sharknado are
increase.
Yeah, virtually greatly. Guaranteed. So
yes,
prep for animal eco disasters by visiting your local Menards. Yeah. Home Depot, lawn and garden.
Your local lawn and garden center.
Yep. That's the best place to get your things. And, very important. Be sure you get the gas-powered chainsaws.
Yeah, not this electric crap.
No, the electric chainsaws. If you're going to wield an electric chainsaw against a Sharknado, be sure to get those extension cords that have the locking clamps. You know, the one you can plug them into each other, and they've got the
locks,
they're like twist holds, ties on there.
So they don't come out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, very, very important. Very important. Where can we find dynamite these days? Goodness gracious! I mean,
I don't know. You
almost have to have a
demolition store.
Demolitions license to get a hold of explosives at all.
Oh yeah, if not, you'd go on a watch list anyway.
That's all right. You know what? We have learned to improvise.
Yes.
Really, dynamite is what, nitroglycerin?
Yep.
Nitroglycerin soaked into sawdust.
Yeah, to make a paste that are more stable.
Right, and packed into sticks. And really, how important is it to actually use nitroglycerin to make your dynamite?
It's fireworks season. Get a bunch of M80s.
Exactly. Fireworks. You know what? The Sharknado can't tell the difference.
Nope.
It's not going to check the pedigree of your dynamite before it runs in fear, before it dissipates in the explosion.
No. Yep.
So we're pretty sure that if you can't get your hands on dynamite, actual dynamite, that you can probably bluff the Sharknado with good grade fireworks.
Yeah, M80s, cherry bombs.
Yeah.
Bottle rockets, whatever you got. Just
in fact, I think that's what we're going with. We're going to go with good grade fireworks. That and Roman candles serve as a good distraction.
Yeah.
And also a good deterrent against the sharks themselves.
True.
So, yeah. Also, one final thing. If you do find yourself in the unfortunate situation of being caught unprepared, without your chainsaw, without your fireworks, in the middle of a Sharknado, while you still have an unresolved dispute with a family member, then when the sharks come for you, try to streamline your body. You know, if you can manage it, see if you can't get down the shark's gullet in a single fluid motion. Kind of, you know, put your hands above your head and dive towards the shark. If you can miss that first gnash of the teeth, then you still have a chance of carving your way out of the shark from the inside, because, you know, you may not be carrying a chainsaw everywhere, but you should certainly have a pocket knife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, or nail file, whatever it is.
Nail file. Sharp. You know,
sharks are soft on the inside.
Exactly. You should be able to chew your way out, if nothing else. So we're prepped. The Sharknado is coming. We're watching for it. I've got the kids on Overwatch, taking turns, looking up the Ohio River, north and south, east and west, maybe one way
east
and the
and
other.
West.
Yeah, I think it runs east and west right here. Northeast and southwest, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. So when the Sharknado will not catch us unprepared here. So that's what we're on about. Maybe we'll have some B-movie reviews for you in the upcoming episode. We just watched Age of Tomorrow from The Asylum. Yeah. We'll find something to pair with that to give you some proper B-movie reviews. In the meantime, Doomsday is coming. We're prepped. The question is... Our timing's off. We got to get back into the swing of things. All right. And away we go.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.